What's up, guys? I wanted to give you a bit of a heads up for today's episode. It's not scripted. There's no bullet points. There's no major takeaways. It's just me talking about my experience so far while traveling as I approach this 2-month mark. So I talk about the wins. I talk about the highs. I talk about the lows. I talk about the finances behind it. So what I spent July and August so far. And stick around to the end. If you could, I would appreciate it because I had some stuff that I had to get off my chest. And I hope that it resonates with you guys because I think it's something that you guys deal with as well. So I would appreciate you finishing the episode, even though I ramble a bit. Sorry, guys. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Action Academy Podcast.
Stand back while I celebrate freedom.
The show where we help you achieve financial independence with the mindsets, methods, and actionable steps from guests who've already earned their freedom.
The flags of freedom fly.
Choose to do what you want.
What you want.
With who you want.
With who you want.
When you want.
When you want.
With another episode today. Now, here's your host, Brian Lubin.
What's up, guys? It's your host, Brian, and I wanted to give you guys an update as we approach the month 2 mark of this world trip while we've been traveling. I want to give you guys a brief update on where we've been, what worked, what didn't work, and some rudimentary finances behind it so you can get an idea of what we did financially. I have most of the expenses broken down, like the large categories, but every single nickel and dime is not accounted for. So as a recap, we got on a one-way flight July 6th, landed in Mykonos. And we did Mykonos, Santorini, and the island of Crete in Greece for the majority of the month of July. Then we went to Barcelona, Spain, and we stayed in Barcelona essentially for another 3 weeks, give or take. And while in Barcelona, we went to Girona, we went to Figueres, and we went to a couple of different places around Barcelona in Spain. Then we flew over to Split, Croatia, bounced around Croatia for a bit, for about a week or so. Then I flew to Vienna, Austria, got on a train to Salzburg and then Bad Gastein, which is where I'm at currently recording this in the Austrian Alps in Bad Gastein. So it's a little bit rural, but this has been super fun. This has been one of my favorite experiences of the trip so far. So as I'm recording this today on Friday live for all of you, I'm about to hop on a train and I'm going to Milan, Italy. So that's going to be about a 12-hour trip, give or take, today. And we're going to get to Milan. And then while in Milan, I'm going to use that kind of as a spoke for all the different locations that I want to go to as day trips for the next week. So we are going to do a train ride in a northern Italian town that is going to be a 13-hour round trip train ride around the Alps, the Swiss Alps, because I didn't want to go to Switzerland. And I would not recommend that for most of you because it's just like 5 times more expensive for no reason. But I did want to see the Swiss Alps. So if you are interested in this, the train ride is called the Bernina Express. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but you get on in this town in Italy and they take you through. It's like floor to ceiling windows almost on this train. And you are going through the mountains, under the mountains, over the mountains. And apparently it's the most spectacular view of the Swiss Alps that you could possibly get. So I will post all of that on my Instagram, TikTok, all that. You can follow me at Brian Lubin. Then I'm going to do a day trip to Lake Como, probably one to Rome. And then after that, we are going to Amsterdam for a week. After Amsterdam, I've got about a 3-day window to where I may go meet up with some friends in Germany. Then I'm going to Budapest, Hungary for a week. And then after Budapest, fly there to Portugal for 2 weeks. Then I get on a one-way flight to Brazil. And then I'm staying on the beach in Rio in Brazil for 3 weeks. So that takes us about to the end of October. That takes us to about Halloween. So far, that's booked out, planned out, and paid for. And now I want to get into the finances of this that I have written down, at least. And then we'll get into kind of the philosophical takeaways, what I did right, what I did wrong. Also, everybody, I got a question for you guys. So I've had probably 10 of you guys text me and be like, hey man, create like a guide or a course on this specifically on travel. I didn't really want to do that, but if that's something that you guys want and are like in the market for, let me know and I will create it. It's just going to take a lot of time and effort, but if you want that, let me know and I'll do it. So feel free to reach out, email me, or shoot me a message on Instagram. So here's the finances so far. July, sorry guys, I'm looking at my paper right now, my Excel sheet. July, I spent money like an asshole. Just straight up. So I will preface this with, when we were doing this trip, my idea, and keep in mind, everybody, that this is all just a hypothesis. So I'm going to iterate as we move on. And this may not be the right way or the wrong way, but here's what I did. My idea was, I'm either going to do the expensive bougie stuff in the beginning or the end. I'm not going to just sprinkle it in between. So I wanted to start with the bougie stuff and then taper off month by month until eventually getting to Brazil, where I'm spending next to nothing. So for the month of July, I'll give you the percentage breakdowns first, which have kind of rang true as we've traveled. So lodging is the top mark at about 40% of spend. We have food at about 32% of spend. Then we have entertainment at 13% and transportation at 15%. So all in all, month of July, it looks to be about 18 grand and some change. So 18,200 and some change. I think it may be a little bit more, but that's looking like what it is. Now, keep in mind, everyone, that is for me and my girlfriend. So that's food for both of us. That is for us going and having like a penthouse, Mykonos hotel, looking over the sunset. That's us having a really nice place in Santorini and a really nice place in Crete. So we did it bougie. We went and had the $100 lunches and dinners, and it was very easy to do in Mykonos and Santorini, but that's just what we did. And full transparency, when I was planning this trip and planning all of this out, I had mentors that came to me and said, hey man, like, don't nickel and dime Mykonos and Santorini, because like, that's the figurehead of your trip. And then you can save money down the road, but not for this. So we went lavish, spent like assholes, and that's okay from time to time. Just don't make that your prerogative. Don't make that your normal spend for this. So that takes me into August. As I'm finishing up August right now, we're looking at about 7,200. So, and that's for both of us. So there you go, guys. I'm not a complete idiot. And Barcelona was still pretty freaking expensive. Barcelona was expensive, just plain and simple. It was the same as you'd be living in any major metropolitan city in America. There was just no cost savings there. Croatia was a little bit more affordable. So Croatia was more fun for that. And then Bad Gastein has been about the same as Croatia, relatively affordable. So for those that don't know, there is a rule called the Schengen rule, to where you can only be in the European Union for 90 days. So right now, I am spending a bit more on transportation, just moving from place to place so I can get the full effect of this as I finish up my last month here in Europe. So the transportation costs are going to be slightly higher. Ways that you can do this a bit better are parking somewhere central for a month and having a month-long stay somewhere, to where maybe you're hopping on a couple of trains, but you're not doing the planes as much or the long distance. That will save you a bunch of money. And then also, of course, just having a place to where you can cook and make your own food, stuff like that. I almost exclusively eat out, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that's another thing to consider. So at the end of the day, if you're looking at variable expenses, $7,200 for the month of August with flights, hotel, eating out every single meal for two people, it's really not entirely that bad. And people, that's what life looks like when you don't have massive amounts and gobs of fixed rate debt, because I don't have a massive mega mansion mortgage that I have to pay of like $8,000-$10,000 a month. I don't have car payments that I have to pay of like $1,000-$2,000 a month, country club memberships, stuff like that. So this is all kind of flying by the seat of my pants. So one last financial rule to give to you guys before we get into some philosophy here. My new rule of thumb whenever I am spending money, because about after Greece, I was like, hey, I can't sustain this. We got to reel this in. Like, what are we doing? But then I came to a realization after talking to a lot of mentors and everything. I use what's called the 10-year rule now. And I haven't heard this, so I may be creating it and pulling this out of my ass. But for me now, if I am looking at an experience or looking at a meal or something, And maybe it's a little expensive, but if I can remember that in 10 years, I'm going to spend the money. So an example of this is having like the fresh river trout that they caught that morning, and you're eating lunch and it's like 26 euro and you're like, that's a little expensive for lunch. But it's like the fresh trout and the owner of the restaurant comes out and he's helping you carve it up and he's showing you how to eat it and showing you how to dress it. And his wife just cooked it fresh. I'm going to remember that in 10 years. Would I remember the house, the car, all that kind of stuff? No, because every single person that gets a really nice house, you just get a nicer house later on. It's called hedonic adaptation. And people that have got nice cars know this too. As soon as you get the car, it's super cool. About 2 months in, you're like, it's just a car, right? So another example of this is like next Monday, I'm doing that express train through the Swiss Alps. That's 130 euro. So normally I would not in my normal day-to-day life drop $130 on a Monday, but I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life. And the irony of all of this is as soon as I adopted this philosophy about a month ago, the income and the revenue actually increased for some reason. So I guess that goes back to the whole idea of money being energy and attraction versus repulsion, all that stuff. So now I want to talk about some recurring themes that I'm seeing whenever I'm journaling in the mornings, some observations, questions that I'm asking, stuff like that. I'm trying to be very documentative while I'm traveling so I can be able to have a really good understanding of where my mind is at different parts of the trip so I can share that with you guys as well and just be a little bit vulnerable in full transparency. So one of the observations I've had is that I had a massive control problem. And when you're traveling, control is like the last thing that you have. So being out of my comfort zone for so long has caused me to ride the waves of life a lot better and a lot easier. So whenever something goes wrong, it's kind of funny because like, was it even technically wrong? Because that wasn't the reality of life for that to happen the way it did. Like that was just your reality that you made up of how it was supposed to go in your head. So I've been using that and I've been reading the book Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. And he talks a lot about life happening for us, not against us. And what he cites is essentially nature. He goes, if we have a world and a universe where nature survives and nature thrives as it is, and this is a world and universe that rewards light, energy, and abundance, he goes, why do you think that you would not have that if you just surrendered to it? And so this guy essentially just went with the flow of life. Whenever things happened and situations occurred to him that he didn't care for and he didn't like, he removed his emotional attachment to it and just went with it and went with the flow of life and then became a multi-billionaire. Oops. So maybe the same will happen to me. I don't know. Another struggle that I've been having currently is being present. And this is hilarious because you'd think that this would be the area and opportunity for me to be the most present, but it's been the hardest that I've struggled being present in my entire life. Because anxiety is literally just when you remove the present day focus and you either go back to your past or you fast forward to the future. That's where all anxiety comes from. And whenever you allow your mind time to rest and time to be still, whenever it's used to a constant environment of stimulation, sometimes you have to deal with some junk that comes up with it, you know? So that's what I'm currently going through. As I'm starting to slow down and get still, I'm noticing a lot of thoughts bubbling up that are not necessarily true. And I'll share them with you here today. Like I literally am getting uncomfortable like saying this out loud, but it's just a thought that I have that keeps bubbling up. So I just want to air it out to all of you guys as a way of dealing with it. And that thought is this: what is my identity when I'm not doing this trip? Like when I'm back in Atlanta and I'm back in the US, like who's going to care anymore? Because I'm not traveling, I'm not posting the Instagram pictures, I'm not doing the cool stuff, you know. Then I'm just a guy that's talking in a microphone that has a couple of rental units and a baby online business again. As opposed to now, I've got guys that are worth 10, 50, $100 million calling me and telling me that I'm their hero for doing what I'm doing. And I love it. But now my identity's been so wrapped up in this for a year, 2 years, 3 years as I've been planning this and talking about it and doing it, that now that's a fear that I have. And I know it's ridiculous, which is why I wanted to air it out here, which is me being like the ultimate form of vulnerable with you guys, because I feel like this is the best way to deal with it, I guess. And talking about it helps me process it so that I can go back to being present, because I know that my value is not all wrapped up in doing this trip. Like, that's just ridiculous to even think about. And so talking about this is actually helping me. So maybe you guys can do this as well. If you have something that's nagging you, just share it with the entire world, which is the scariest thing ever. And it will make you feel better, because it's just that imposter syndrome creeping back up. It really doesn't ever go away, to my understanding. Even the guys I talk to that are at the 100 million range to get around billionaires, and they have imposter syndrome. So, you know, I talk to guys that are, you know, 10 times, 100 times where I'm at every single day of the week. And that's who I relate with. And so, you know, it creeps up sometimes because, you know, this guy's famous for getting $100 million commercial real estate. This guy's famous for $10 million in Airbnbs. And I'm technically traveling the world. And so that's a finite thing. But anyways, that's just a musing I have. I would love to hear your guys' opinions on all of this, because I'm sure a lot of you are going through this too. And so I would love to help you guys as well. And I just want to use this as a reminder that when you get still and you do the meditation, you do the journaling, this is the stuff that comes up. Okay. Ironically, it's more of this stuff than it is the good stuff. And being in a peak state, in a peak environment with a lot of energy, abundance, and love is what gets you through it, and it helps you process it. So when you think about growing as a person, it's not necessarily getting new ideas or concepts to be a better version of you per se. I think it's more so a game of knocking out all the insecurities. And as Jason Dries used to tell me, success is like a hot air balloon. We already have the balloon inflated. It's really just a game of chopping the sandbags that are holding you to the ground. And each one of these ideas is just a sandbag that I'm chopping. So just remember the morning routines and stuff like this. Some of this stuff will come up for you. And that's the goal of the journaling, the meditation, all of it. So I'm about to build some really big and really cool things for you guys. And I've got it all written out in my vivid vision. And I'm so excited and I'm so on fire for doing this and growing this show and growing this podcast and helping all of you, because that gives me the ultimate sense of achievement and fulfillment. And it just fires me up. So while I'm traveling and I've seen a lot of other people traveling, I've had 11 people text me and they say, "Hey man, our trip is booked because of what you're doing." And that's the coolest freaking thing ever. So please keep sharing that with me. It's so freaking cool. And I hope that you guys have enjoyed this rambling today. I didn't have any kind of script. I normally have bullet points that I'm going over. I normally have a point to what I'm saying. But today, I just wanted to open the kimono, tell you what's going right with travel, what's going wrong with travel, so that you can have an idea if you want to do a trip like this as well. So as always, I hope you guys have enjoyed. And I can't freaking wait to talk to you on Monday. I will see you then. Go kill it.